Let us turn now to this psalm, Psalm 13, and we will consider the last two verses as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6. But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Well, David had enemies, and David speaks in particular of an enemy. How long, in verse 2, shall mine enemy be exalted over me? How long shall that enemy get the victory over me? And it is not said who the enemy was, but it looks very like as if it was Saul, King Saul, which of course was why we read the chapter that we did, 1 Samuel 26, where it speaks of Saul going out against David. And then, in the providence of God, there was an opportunity for Saul to do away with, for David to do away with Saul. But he didn't take the opportunity. In spite of Abishai's persuasion. No, he would not stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed. God had put Saul in the place he was in, and it's not David that would take him out of it. You see, David was saying, something will happen. Perhaps a battle. Perhaps he will be killed in a battle. But I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. It's not as if he was doing nothing in the face of an enemy. He was praying. And it would be good for us to be praying in the face of every difficulty that comes our way, every difficulty, to come before the Lord and say, thou knowest. And there might be circumstances in which you would say, I will not stretch forth my hand here. I will pray about it, and then I must leave it to the Lord to deal with the situation, to deal with the person who is causing me trouble, if that's what it is. You see, the Lord has an arm that is full of power. His hand is great in might, and his right hand exceedingly exalted is in height. Now, God is infinite power. It's not that all the time, when things get difficult, we are to do nothing. There may well be a duty lying upon us. It might be more than to pray. But we don't need to go into that just now. But whatever it is, let us pray. Let us bring it before the Lord, who is a God of mercy. You see, at this stage in the psalm, that's very much what is on David's mind. His mercy. And then his salvation, his deliverance. And again, his bountiful dealings. Now that's all mercy. It's undeserved. And I have 4 points that I would like to say something about. The first is, David had his eye on God's mercy. The second thing is, David's sense of the greatness of God's mercy. And particularly, he is saying, God has dealt bountifully with me. The greatness of God's mercy. Third, he was trusting in the mercy of God. And fourth, he was ready to praise God for his blessings. I will sing unto the Lord. First then, God's mercy. Second, the greatness of God's mercy. Third, David trusting in God's mercy. And fourth, David speaking of singing because of the Lord's great mercy. First then, God's mercy. And David was experiencing and had on many an occasion experienced God's mercy. The goodness of God to a needy creature. And if you speak of God's grace, the emphasis there is God showing his goodness to a creature who is undeserving. And yet, a lot of the time, the words are used almost interchangeably. So, here we have got David, one of God's creatures, one of God's thinking creatures, and he speaks of experiencing God's mercy. And have we not all got reason to speak of God's mercy to us? Even God's long suffering, if nothing more than that. That God is leaving us on mercy's ground, as the expression is, and the place where God may show mercy. See, it's not too late to seek mercy while we are still spared here. When we pass away from this world, then it becomes too late. We are, according to that expression, still on mercy's ground. And that's a great matter to be thankful for. We're still on mercy's ground. And we're to be thankful for that. But of course, and I'm not going to go out on this to any extent just now, at least that's my intention. We need God's mercy. As far as our souls are concerned, we need mercy. We need to be earnest and urgent in pleading with God for his mercy. We need to follow David's example and plead for mercy. And you see, this is the situation that we're in, as David expressed it. I was shapen in iniquity. Psalm 51. And there's a great deal about mercy there. David reminding God of his mercy in the situation he was in. If he was to be left, if he was to be judged for his great sin with Bathsheba, then he would be left to treasure up wrath against the day of wrath. And that's what people are doing when they are going on in sin, when they are refusing to flee to Christ. As we have that in connection with Zacchaeus. Fleeing to where mercy is to be found in the first place. And then there's the further degree, fleeing to Christ. Not just where we know he is, but fleeing to him to be received so that we might obtain mercy. And certainly, when he was in the place where mercy was to be shown, in the presence of Jesus, what mercy was shown to Zacchaeus when Christ invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. And there's no question about it but that when Christ, he was with Zacchaeus, that he would have spoken graciously, mercifully to the man in his need of salvation. Well then, David found mercy, and he sang, "With the Lord there is mercy." And that is so. But perhaps what we have more in mind this evening is, with the Lord Jesus, there is mercy. We are to go to him in particular. The second person of the Godhead, as we have that order in the Trinity, they're equal in power and glory, they're equal in every way, are the three persons. But you see, they're presented overall in a particular order. And we are thinking about the second person. Baptism is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There you have the three persons together in that particular order. But in the benediction, it's another order. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. It's that order. They are equal. But, you see, there's mercy. With the Lord there is mercy, says David. I obtained mercy, says Paul. Oh, can we say that? There will be some who cannot. There will be some who can, very definitely. And others who would have this as their greatest wish, that I would obtain mercy. And they have all the evidence that could lead them to say, I have obtain mercy. So, there was David, looking for mercy. There was Paul, and he says he has obtained mercy. And he was conscious here of enemies. Serious enemies, dangerous enemies. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He says in verse 2. And we may not feel that we have particular enemies among neighbors or family or acquaintances, but we have many enemies. And at the head of those I am thinking of, that is the devil himself going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're to resist, and we're to plead with God to act against him, to bring down the power of the devil, for instance. Ah, what a blessing it will be when the devil is put in a chain for 1,000 years. We may well say that we are dealing with things figurative there. But, leaving that aside, we are to think of the power of the devil. And we're not to encourage the devil. What do I mean by that? What am I thinking of? Well, it's this in particular. That when we give in to sin, we're encouraging the devil. But we're to resist. And that we might resist him properly. We are to be asking the Lord, help me. Help me to resist. Give me grace to resist. That I would not be led away by the error of the wicked. That I would not be led away by the devil himself. Yes, see how he dealt with Peter. We can think of what the Savior said to the disciples, Satan hath desired to have you, plural, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. Singular. Peter in particular. The Savior knew that he was to deny him. May the Lord keep us from denying him in any way. We cannot do that in the way that Peter did. But we're still in danger of denying him. We're still in danger of saying, I do not know. May the Lord keep us from that. But you see, I'm speaking of the enemy that the children of God have. But you see, the enemy that unconverted people have, who would keep them from going to Christ, who would keep them engrossed with the things of this world, and keep telling them, you've got no time to seek the Lord, no time to read the Bible, no time even to go to church. Yes, we need the Lord to protect us. We need the Lord to deliver us from our great enemy. You see, there's this about Satan, the power he has, the subtlety he has, the sheer intellect that he has, and all directed in an evil direction. He's no doubt the most evil creature in the whole world or the whole universe. Yes, coming into the world with the evil purpose. And when he is as powerful as he is, what do we need? We need the Lord to protect us. What mercy. The Lord preserving a sinner, even a sinner that is not coming to Christ, unwilling to come to Christ. Yes, and yet the Lord is protecting that sinner. It may be because there is a purpose yet to bring that sinner into his kingdom, in the mind of God. And if so, that will be done. But let no one presume upon that. David had his troubles. He had this enemy in particular. And see what he says in Psalm 34, which is related to another situation altogether. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And not least, when the sinner, the saved sinner, with all his afflictions, all his troubles, perhaps not knowing at all what to do with it. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Yes, the Lord knows. And the final deliverance will be at the time of death, bringing them into heaven where there is no trouble, no affliction. Yes. Everything of that nature is all over. It's in the past. But you see, the Lord knows how to deliver. And the Lord knows when to deliver. Then again, there's a struggle in the believer's soul. Paul was experiencing it. He was referring to that when he wrote in Romans 7. When he said that he had another law in his members, warring against the law of his mind. And he's referring to the conflict between good and evil in the soul. Yes. Between the work of grace and the work of the devil. The work of our own unbelieving hearts, you see. With the devil behind it. And the devil, well, he can't be everywhere at once. But he might sum up, and that's no doubt what has been done when people speak like that If it's not Satan himself, then it's one of his henchmen, will we say? One of his fellow angels doing the evil work that Satan himself is at the head of. But he's got plenty evil angels to go around the world doing harm, doing spiritual harm. But you see, that's the great work of Christ in his mercy, bringing on the work of grace in the soul till it is finished. Yes. And this is true of their state, the state of believers. In spite of their great enemy and in spite of unbelief in their own souls acting as an enemy, there's this, that is there for now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. Their sins are not imputed to them. They are saved by grace, and the work will go on. Mercy, you see. But secondly, there is great mercy. Great mercy. Paul speaks of it in this way in 2 Corinthians 8. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he tells the believers in Corinth and believers throughout the world today, though he was rich, divinely rich, as rich in his right to everything as a divine person can be, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, believer, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ rich, becoming poor, that those who are spiritually poor, spiritually penniless, that they might be rich. You see? The contrast, the double contrast. The great, great mercy of Christ, who was eternally and divinely rich. Yes. And if just a little example. If Peter needed a coin to pay the tax at the temple, and he had been accosted in connection with that, the Savior had the power to make it possible for Peter to find the coin. He went out to catch a fish, and there was the coin in its mouth. See, the Lord's provision. And though we might not altogether speak of that as a miracle, there was a miracle in terms of the knowledge. It was a miracle in terms of where Peter was sent. But the fish had no doubt at some time, some recent time, taken the coin into its mouth. Now, you see, the Lord is able to supply all the needs of every believer. And though it is not a day of miracles, it is still a day of wonderful providences. Yes, wonderful providences. Oh, no wonder it is said, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's true of God's people. His great mercy, you see. What a provision that the Lord makes in his mercy, in the greatness of his mercy. And see the acknowledgement in Psalms 86 at the end, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell, delivered my soul from hell, from destruction. Oh, great is thy mercy. that thou hast saved me. The psalmist is saying, great is thy mercy. Do you not have to say that, believer? Great is thy mercy. You will be at least saying, great is thy mercy, that thou hast not cast me away into a lost eternity. Great is thy mercy. Yes. And great is thy mercy, if a work of grace has begun in your soul. Be very thankful for that, as we're to come back to that later. And again, you see, when there is that call given to seek the Lord and call upon him while he is near, see where that ends. He will abundantly pardon. His mercy in pardoning. But it's abundant mercy, great mercy. When the Lord pardons the sins of any individual, it's great mercy. What did the Son of God to do that he might show that great mercy, that he would work that great mercy in a sinner? He had to come into this world. He had to become poor. He had to die. Was that not great mercy? Christ going to the cross of Calvary, laying down his life, suffering even unto death, offering himself up as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. What mercy. Yes. And you see, David felt it long when he was forsaken by God. David felt it very difficult when his enemy was in danger according to what he could see. According to the trends, he would one day fall by the hand of Saul. Though he wasn't thinking of the mercy of God as he should have been when he said that. Oh, do any of God's people think of the greatness of God's mercy? Especially at times when trouble sweeps over them, at times when a sense of sin sweeps over them, do they go at once, as they should, with this in their minds, the greatness of God's mercy? Yes. That he has dealt bountifully with them. That he has acted in an overflowing way of mercy towards them. Yes. But you see, the Lord answers, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. A small moment, oh certainly, especially in comparison with eternity. These small, relatively small troubles in this world of sin and sorrow, and as far as David is concerned, they are long past. What a great long time of perfect blessedness he has enjoyed, something like 3,000 years, and he's never had reason to say that he has been forsaken by God. Not for a moment. But you see, it's a small moment. Even at the longest, then troubles, temporal or spiritual, that the believer experiences, it's just a small moment. It will be altogether overshadowed by the great mercy of God in eternity. Yes, you see, the Lord is assuring his people that they may forget. The mother may forget her second child, but you see, the contrast is, yet will I not forget thee. Yes. And you see, Micah, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity. See David, and he might have used these words. He certainly would have spoken in the spirit of these words. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? When he is assured of the faithfulness of God in his covenant, at the end of his days, he is saying, God has said, I will not forget thee. I will not forsake thee. I will not hold out the guilt of your sin against you, but I will bring you safely to heaven. Yes. That pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retaineth not his anger forever. He will never come back. He will never act according to his justice in relation to the sinning individual who has looked to his mercy. Yes, but oh, he will act according to his justice in connection with the sinner who goes as far as eternity with his sin still his own responsibility. Oh, sinner, look to Christ. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He has abundant mercy. Yes. Who pardoneth iniquity? Who passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delights to show mercy. And if you are here, and you are afraid to go to Christ, if there's something of that acting in your soul, because you say, God will not accept me, I've gone on too long in sin, or whatever you may say. Remember this. God delights in showing mercy to sinners. God delights in showing mercy to great sinners. And now, the third point. David saying, I have trusted in thy mercy. I have trusted in the revelation I have had of thy mercy, in the experience I have had of thy mercy, and now in further troubles. And that's how it has been. He would say, and he is saying it here, I will trust. I will trust and not be afraid. I say, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, my strength. And my song will come to the song. And his mercy. His mercy in acting strongly. Acting according to his strength for me. That I might not perish. And no doubt the hope that is springing up in David's soul. Particularly has to do with his enemy. Yes, his enemy. Trusting in the Lord that Satan would not get the advantage of. Yes. Oh, what particular situation are you in yourself, perhaps? Well, think in this way, that the God I have to do with, and even the God that has had mercy on me will continue to show me mercy, for he delights in mercy. He delights in taking the opportunity to show mercy. And if you are struggling still with your sins, wishing you could have your sins forgiven and wishing is that you could have an assurance that your sins are forgiven. Remember that the God you have to do with is a God of mercy, a God of great mercy. That's it. A God of mercy, a God of great mercy. And he never, for Christ's sake, he never turns sinners away. Him that cometh to me, the Saviour is saying, I will in no wise cast out. In no way will I cast out the sinner that is just starting to come to me. The sinner that is just starting to begin, we might say, to come to Christ, to believe on him. That sinner will not be put away. Yes, there may be something of acting in the dark, not total darkness, for there would be no seeking, no true seeking. But you see, coming to Christ with no confidence that that person spiritually has already been received. Oh, let us continue to seek the Lord. Let us continue to call upon him. He is still near. He has not departed from us. I was pointing out already today what Jesus was saying about, or what the Bible was saying about Jesus departing. He was pleading with them not to let time pass. He was near. But having said that, he went away, he departed. We've got these blessed words still in Scripture. But Christ departed from these people that he was speaking to. Christ departed. Oh, might he not leave us. Might he not leave us. You see, those who no longer come to church. I'm not speaking of those that are unable to come to church because they're not fit, for instance. But, you see, is there not a great fear that the Lord has departed from them? He is leaving them to themselves. And even then, they think they're on the way to heaven. At least they may do. See that you do not stop coming to church. Young or old, see that you keep coming. See that you keep reading the Bible. See that you keep praying, trying to pray anyway. See that you start, you think about your soul. Ask the Lord to make you earnest about your soul. Yes, but you see, I have trusted in thy mercy. I've experienced thy mercy. And I go on trusting in the mercy of God. Oh, believe it. Be looking at what you are doing. Be looking at what is going on in your soul. And be asking the Lord to keep you going on seeking the Lord. To keep you calling on his name, to keep you making use of the Bible and making use of the preaching of the word. These are the main means where sinners get good for their souls. Now, the important thing just now is trust. And no doubt it was later on that David had that terrible experience at Ziklag. It was a dark, dark day when he and his men came back there and they found the city sacked. They'd been burnt with fire. But, you see, when the people feeling so in such a bad way, that the thought of stoning David, they were speaking of it. David encouraged himself and the Lord was God. What was that? It was David trusting in the mercy of God, which he had so often experienced when Saul was chasing him. How many an escape he had. How many a blessed, merciful escape he had. Yes, and he could look back and he could trust in the mercy of God for the present situation. And that's how it should be with us. Even if the situation seems completely different to what we have experienced in the past. Even if it's completely different, still, there's a need of God. That hasn't changed. Whatever changes there might be in the outward circumstances, there's no change in this, our need of God. And as we may have been given grace in the past to think of God's mercy, and God acted according to his mercy, so we are to say, not presumptuously, but God is a God of mercy, and he meets his children in their need. Yes. And let us just notice this. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust for all that in what God has revealed about himself. That's where we're to go, you see. Go to your Bible. Go to what you've got of the Bible in your memory. If it's not an opportune moment to read your Bible, perhaps you're confronted by someone. Well, the Lord may bring a verse of Scripture into your mind, or a few words of Scripture, and you are to trust. You are to trust and not be afraid. Yes. You are to trust in the mercy of God, the promised mercy of God to his own children. Yes. And you might well say it trustfully, what we have in Psalm 106. Remember me, O Lord, with that love, or that mercy. Doesn't make a great deal of difference. Remember me, O Lord, with that mercy, that thou bearest unto thine own people. O visit me with thy salvation. Come to me as one of thy children. And you are a child of God if you are trusting in his mercy. Yes. Trusting in his mercy. Not careless about your soul. Not saying, I can put this off for another year, for another 10 years, even for another day. Yes. Trust in the mercy of God. Well, finally, we have this, David rejoicing in God's trouble. Even when he is still conscious of his enemy. Even if he is still conscious of his enemy and is not conscious of deliverance from his enemy. But he knows where to go. And he knows. There's that in his soul, that which is the result of God's work in his soul, that he goes to God in prayer. It's his only refuge, and a blessed refuge it is. That was David. He's saying, I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath done bounty, he is dealt bountifully with me. I will sing unto him. I have reason to thank. And child of God, have you reason? Have you not reason to put things very generally? Have you not reason to say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? Are you even saying this? I am glad. I would thank God that salvation has been provided. Not even saying that I have benefited from that salvation, but saying, speaking of thankfulness and wishing to give thanks, wishing to praise the Lord, wishing to declare before Him, His mercy is great mercy because salvation has been provided. Oh well, take another mouthful, as it were, of God's provision for your soul. Open your mouth abundantly. Do thou it open wide to receive the mercy of God in Christ Jesus for yourself as a sinner. Even if you're struggling to get past this, the unspeakable gift, and you're admiring the unspeakable gift, is that so? It's not that the admiration of a child of God. Yes, and let us remember, it's through Christ we have every deliverance, every blessing. And at the very beginning of Psalm 106, we had this: "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." His mercy will last forever. If the Lord has begun a good work in your soul, then it will continue. And you're to thank God for that. Thank God for the promises. Thank God for that promise. See His mercy in giving you promises. See God's mercy whenever He applies a promise to your soul. Yes. The promises are unending. The promises are unending. Unending as to time. And how many they are. Oh, may we be thinking, if we have grace in our souls, of the promises. And it would be profitable perhaps for those who have not come to be Christ to think of the promises and what they are missing. I will be with you always. Ah, well, perhaps you do not value that promise. To have Christ coming too near you and troubling your conscience, that's not welcome. Ah, but it should be. And you should be asking the Lord to work further, not to stop at troubling your conscience, but showing you the remedy, opening the eyes of your soul so that you might see Jesus, so that you might look to Him, so that you might not be left to yourself in the face of the declaration of the goodness and the mercy and the great mercy of God and of Christ Jesus in particular. Or you see it in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Are you coming to see that? That the Lord has been working in your soul. I'm asking a specific question. I can't say it to specific people except in terms of the description. That you're beginning to feel that Christ is beginning a good work in your soul. That Christ is opening the eyes of your soul so that you might see Jesus. See Him as a Savior. See Him as the basis for the great mercy we've been trying to speak about. Oh, the provision, the greatness of the provision, the suitableness of the provision. Yes. I opened a book last week. Did very little than read a statement by John Duncan, Robbie Duncan as he was known as. But you see, he was speaking about this, that the Lord has provided a suitable Savior for sinners. That's the substance of it, anyway. The Lord has provided a suitable deliverer for those who are still in the miry pit, the miry clay, the fearful pit and the miry clay. A suitable deliverer to get you out. It's not everyone that would come along. if you were sinking in soft sand, wet soft sand on a beach, it's not everybody that would come along that might be able to do anything for you. Need a bit of strength to pull you out. Yes, and the Lord is that strength for you in your soul, to act in your soul, to draw you to himself, a deliverer. And Christ is a suitable deliverer as far as salvation is concerned, and as far as every other enemy, every other trouble is concerned. Christ is a suitable refuge for the sinner. Yes. And we might take up the words of Psalm 5. God's people may take up the words of Psalm 5. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Yes, there will be plenty rejoicing when the people of God get home to glory. But that's not when it's to start. It's to be starting now. In this world, where there are enemies, spiritual enemies in particular, the rejoicing, the triumph even, is to begin now. There's a great victory that has been obtained. And because of that, there will be a great victory for every sinner that has come to Christ when they are removed from this world, when they are removed from the reach of Satan. What reason to rejoice then, but what reason now to rejoice in the prospect of it? And remember the way David is speaking here, he is rejoicing in terms of a deliverance that is yet to come. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Oh, have mercy. Pardon our sin. Grant us a great deliverance, each one of us, from sin and from Satan and from ourselves. Go before us now and always. Remember all in trouble. And those in trouble of soul, grant to bring them to thyself, and grant to put thy finger into the consciences of sinners here, so that they might feel that they are guilty and polluted as before God. And may they look to Christ, may they go to him, may they hear his call, to look to him, to trust in him, to go to him, to believe in him. Ah, have mercy on us all. Wash away our sin, deliver us from all evil, and make us thankful. And bless the truth to us powerfully and mercifully. For Jesus' sake, amen.